All right, welcome to Fright Central. I'm Kevin Duck, and I'm back here again with Keck. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, man? I'm doing so-so. I guess about as good as can be expected in these troubling times.
Yeah, tell me about it. Good news is, at least here in LA, we've gotten lower and lower cases, and we just reopened our theaters maybe a week ago.
Oh, so this is what you were grinning about when I mentioned movie theaters, and I could see like a light bulb go off in your head, like, oh, he's going to say, all right.
Go ahead. They went to 25% capacity, and we've moved into the orange tier now. So we're going to be opening 50% capacity this week as well with theaters. We're down to like under 600 cases in all of LA County. So that's huge. So
yeah, well, things here in Jersey are completely out of hand. They're calling us the new epicenter. Our cases are way up, our hospitalizations are way up, our deaths are way up. The people seem to be getting more and more ignorant by the hour. So you know what? Fuck California.
you keep those fucking people over there, because we're already talking about opening everything fully June 15th is our date right now. We're up to like like millions a day fucking vaccinate. I'll be fully vaccinated with the extra 2 weeks by Mother's Day, so I get my second shot at the end of April.
I'm fully vaccinated the day before I leave for Maine, so I'm going to be fully vaccinated on May 6th.
That's so like 3 days before me.
It's 2 days after I get the second shot on April 22nd. But like, yeah, things are like totally out of control here. It's real scary, and you know, it's going to affect, it doesn't matter, like it will affect you guys. And if you guys just open up everything, like, I know that feels good, but like, I feel like that's gonna end up fucking us all. We are so fucked.
Yeah.
That's all I want to say. I'm not gonna say any more about it.
Well, I felt comfortable enough being half vaccinated to go to the theaters, and I went and saw Godzilla versus Kong in IMAX.
I'm sure you do feel comfortable, but that's not the fucking point. You know, I know two people that have been fully vaccinated that still got COVID and got sick. Like, that is a reality. So, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, but, you know, to end this discussion, like, I think we're in really bad shape in general.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, I've got some numbers for Godzilla versus Kong. It seems like some people have also
box office numbers. Oh yeah. So what are their what's their projection so far?
Well, first of all, I wanted to mention that WB has nixed the same day HBO Max release starting in 2022. They have a new deal with some of the theaters where it's going to be a 45-day release window in theaters. And then it'll be released on HBO Max. Same thing with Paramount Plus.
What about price? Did you pay like full price when you went to the theaters, or did
I restarted my A-list thing, which is the $23 a month, and you get three movies a week. Okay. And then since it had stopped in April of last year, I'm pretty much not paying for this month at all. So I'm pretty much getting this month free since I had paid for it last year.
You guys could basically do open air theaters out in like.
We have a drive-in theaters. There's a shit ton of them that opened up during the pandemic. I went like to three different ones last year.
I was going to say, like, you guys could basically have like movie theaters, like outdoors, like not even drive-in, like just like normal things. The chairs could like fold in and like, you know, basically like become like a cushion flat on the ground. Like, you guys, you have the weather for it.
Yeah. They do at the Hollywood Cemetery. They do movies all the time. I don't know if they did during the pandemic, because I guess they didn't want as many people close together, but I think that'll start opening up again as well.
What was the airflow like inside the place? Because I heard that they planned on implementing like really hardcore like HEPA filters that could like filter out like particles as small as like something like ridiculous, like 40 nanometers or something.
Yeah, it was definitely a little chiller in there than normal. I mean, I always bring a sweatshirt anyway, but you could definitely tell it was like nice and airflow, and it was really spread out. Like, there was nobody near me. So yeah. I
think most people like probably like, you know, would like not go to the fucking movies already.
That's where it comes into box office numbers. It opened up March 24th in China, and the budget was 200 million. The opening weekend in China was 69.2. And the 5-day U.S. total since it opened on Wednesday of last week.
This is in USD that you're staying, right?
Yes, yes.
You're not like, that's not in yen or anything.
No. That's in yen.
No, I'm fine. But
that's American money.
The Chinese also have this situation like much better under control.
Yes, absolutely.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in Wuhan, it's like nothing even happened.
Yeah, and they got hit the worst when it first started. So the 5-day U.S. total was 48.5 million.
Wow, that's so, more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, and the HBO Max doesn't release numbers, but there was a third-party service that will kind of monitor it, and they only kind of monitor people who have watched at least 5 minutes of it. So like these people could have turned it off at 5 minutes, but 3.6 million people at least watched at least 5 minutes of it. And to compare that to some of the other day-to-date releases, Wonder Woman 84 only had 2.2 million, and the Zack Snyder's Justice League 4-hour cut was a 1.8 million. So it's doing well on HBO Max, and it did pretty well in theater. So it's going to show that people do want to get back out if it's like, you know, safe enough. And with LA and New York opening, and there's been some other adjustments with movies, but I think every movie that's pretty much coming out this year is kind of set in its date. There haven't been much changes. Some movies have been pushed up a week, others have been pushed back another week or maybe even a month, but I think they're pretty much set. The worldwide gross so far on a budget of 200 million is 285.8, so it's already made its money back. So
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm glad for that. But like you were talking, yeah, I realize that the desire exists to like go to the movies. It's just like I'm worried about like the long term.
Yeah, the long term effects. Yeah.
No, I don't want to like quote Pinhead from Hellraiser 2, the true Hellraiser. I'll have to send that to Chino. But like he talks about desire and the things does to people. Like when that like deaf girl opened up the portal to hell with the box, and like they're all, the demons are all about to rip her, and like Pinhead stops them and goes on a rant about desire. You would know if you saw it, but I mean,
yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
it is a true Hellraiser. But the other news that I had, and I was gonna jot this up on my phone, but I didn't want to take too much time on it. Apparently, a very famous theater just closed down in Houston, Texas. I briefly glanced at an article the other day, and like they're calling it like an end of an era. It's like one of the like oldest theaters. I think it is the oldest theater in the state. And if it's not that, it's a nationally known movie theater. And they closed down. If you Google Houston movie theater, you can easily find out about it. But apparently it's been in operation for a really, really long time.
You don't remember the name of it?
No, I mean, yeah. I didn't want to take too much time. Maybe I'll look it up and I'll mention it at the end. But they cited COVID reasons as why they're going to close, because Houston has been the epicenter, or at least one of the major epicenters, pretty much like once the virus spread nationally. Yeah. Like you hear about Houston like all the times. So, like their hospitals have been like absolutely out of control, overworked. They're like transporting people to other cities because Houston can't even handle it. So I just thought I'd mention that because I could like, you know, put a little bit more information in at the end, but it apparently was like a very like stoic theater that had a lot of history to it.
Well, and I mean, you never know with like Netflix and Amazon, like could come in and buy up the theater and
Yeah, secretly, I was kind of hoping that like AMC would like go under so that like we could have like new, like we could have like privately run theaters.
More
like,
mom and pops.
It would give entrepreneurs a chance to like build something up. Like, I mean, how cool would that be if like you got like a loan from the bank and you start your own movie theater where you could like sell homemade food that like wasn't, that's not like fucking like a $1 million, and like, you know what I mean, like give people like a unique experience so that like theaters would have to start competing again for, you know what I mean, for the atmosphere, for the conditions, for the quality, you know what I mean? Like, I think that it would be good if AMC didn't have such a monopoly on it. But before I get into too much of a sidebar, that is the one sad news I heard, that and this was on the BBC World. So like, you know, obviously, like, you know, this place was something special, and it looks like they're done forever. So
yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I like the choices I have out in LA. I think we have a lot of different like independent mom pop stores as well as AMC. So
I mean, you're in the movie capital of the world.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, it's cool that you have all those options, but like most of the population doesn't get to like,
they get like AMC or Regal. Yeah.
I mean, there's, you guys are always going to have a scene out there. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter for you guys, but like, you know, everyone else, like it'd be cool if like, you know, there were like actual options and people like competing to see like who could bring you the best experience, because I think we're really missing that.
Yeah, that's true. There's not a whole lot. But yeah, I went and saw Godzilla, Kong in IMAX. This is the fourth movie in the new MonsterVerse series that they've started with, starting with 2014's
Can you explain Godzilla. What the MonsterVerse I was gonna say, can you explain what that is exactly?
So the MonsterVerse is Legendary Pictures and WB, since they own Legendary, but it's mostly financed through Legendary. It started in 2014's Godzilla with Bryan Cranston, Aaron Taylor Johnson, and then they did Kong Skull Island, which actually takes place in the 70s, and it has Samuel L. Jackson, Tom Hiddleston, who else was in that? Brie Larson. There's a ton of names in that, and that one had a really good balance of story and monster fights. And then they continued it with Godzilla King of Monsters.
I'm sorry, did you say the date of the first movie
was 2014?
Oh, it was 24. Okay, yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
Godzilla King of Monsters came out in 2019. And then now we have the big team up or big versus movie Godzilla versus Kong.
Who are the stars in the 2019 film you just referenced?
Stars in that one was
you mentioned Bryan Cranston was in one of them.
He was in the 2014 one.
Oh, he was in 2014. Okay.
Yeah, and Aaron Taylor Johnson plays his son, and which chick played the his wife. She was Wanda in WandaVision.
Oh, Wanda,
yeah, you would know if you watched the series.
I wasn't saying you had to delve in. I was just saying like what were the big names, because before we did this cast, I thought I was like semi up to date with the Godzilla movies, and I had mentioned Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, that was,
you know, I thought he was in, you know, this series of films that you're talking about. And he revealed that was 1998 was the Godzilla with Matthew Broderick, and I thought that was like maybe only like 10 years ago. So I'm way fucked here, but sorry.
That was like continue. 20 years ago. Yeah, Godzilla Kong had Kyle Chandler, Millie Bobby Brown, Ken Watanabe. Ken Watanabe was also in the 2014 Godzilla.
Wait, Millie Bob, the little brat from fucking Stranger Things.
Yeah. She's in it. Bradley Whitford and Charles Dance is in this one as well. And that was Godzilla King of Monsters. And then Godzilla versus Kong also had Kyle Chandler and Millie Bobby Brown as well in it. And I'm fucking drawing a blank right now. One of the Skarsgårds, Alexander Skarsgård, he's in
He's fucking top class. He was the best thing about that's the oldest Skarsgård, right?
No, the oldest one is Stellan.
Oh, it's Stellan. He's the father. Alexander, is he the one that was in True Blood in the stand?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he was like the best. He was like one of the only good things about the stand. So, you know, he's always a good choice.
Yeah. Sorry, I had the list right here and I just passed it for the 2014 Godzilla. It's directed by Gareth Edwards, who did Monsters, if you've ever seen that one.
I have,
That's a good giant monster flick, I think. It's more of a character study of the two characters going from across the, quarantine zone, which is where the monsters have kind of invaded, or this alien, kind of monster invasion thing that they've taken over, like a quarantine zone, which is like half of like the United States and parts of Mexico, and he's trying to get the daughter of his boss across back home, and it's a really good movie.
And this is, let me just make sure I'm not losing you, this is the 2014 Godzilla movie?
No, that was the movie Monsters. It's directed by the same guy. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I was just, I wanted to make sure because you were talking about four different ones. I just wanted to make sure I didn't lose
you. Yeah, the guy who did the 2014 one did the movie Monsters.
So he did the movie Monsters. And then the next installation, I'm just making sure I have the timeline right. The next installation was in 2019. There was nothing between the 2014 and the 2019 film.
So the 2014, which had Eric Taylor Johnson, Ken Watanabe, Elizabeth Olsen, that's who I was trying to say. I was like, it was one of the Olsen people, but not the Olsen twins. And it had and Bryan Cranston. And then it was Kong Skull Island was in 2017, but that actually takes place in the 70s.
That's what I was looking for. I was looking for the, I knew there was one in the gap there.
Yeah.
So it was 2014, 2017, 2019, and now this most recent one, 2021?
Yes, correct.
All right, cool. Sorry, I was confused. I just wanted to be clear about the timeline.
Yeah, you should watch the...
And I've seen none of those.
Yeah, you should watch the Kong Skull Island first, because it takes place right at the end of the Vietnam War. And as Tom Hiddleston, Sammy Jackson, John Goodman, Brie Larson, who else is in it? There's a couple other people from like shows you'll be like, oh, that guy.
Yeah.
I forget who one of the guys was now, what I saw him in, but because I just watched it recently and I was like, oh, he was in such and such. And now I'm drawing a blank. Oh, and John C. Reilly as well.
Well, we had also spoke about the one with Jack Black. The one with Jack Black that doesn't fit anywhere into here because I mean that was Jack Black and it had I think Adrian Brody was in it.
No, that was from 2005. That was Peter Jackson's King Kong, which was basically a remake of the original King Kong.
Yes. But that's totally not part of
Not at all. Yeah,
this I just figure I mention it because I'm just saying I really enjoyed that film. I thought that was a really, really cool King Kong movie.
Yeah, I like this one even better personally. It's basically it takes place in the 70s and John Goodman gets permission to take like a crew to Skull Island, which is like surrounded by like this perpetual storm. So they like, that's why it hasn't been discovered. But like now there's like satellites and stuff. They've been able to pinpoint it and they like take this army, Sammy Jackson's army crew through the storm and they're plotting like this whole hollow earth theory that like they're like the earth is hollow and there's tunnels that run underneath, and like that's how these monsters, like how Kong is like up above the earth and stuff like that. But they don't know. I think John Goodman's character has an idea that Kong exists because they have like, you know, incidences that have happened in pictures and stuff, but he doesn't tell the other people.
He has an idea that Kong was above the earth,
that he exists on this island.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you said above the earth.
Because like the hollow earth is like this deep underground like system of tunnels and stuff. They get into it in more detail, but honestly,
Jackson has done like a few of that, like Deep Blue Sea and Sphere. Like he's done a few of those, like, you know, I want to see the outer limits of reality.
It's like, damn, I need to get in the sphere. This one's damn, I need to get on this island.
And you know, damn, I just got eaten by a shark.
But they were like kind of testing, like they're dropping bombs to test, at least that's what they're saying, is to test the you know, to do like mapping and stuff like that. But the ulterior motive is to try to awaken to prove that Kong exists and stuff like that.
Didn't and then they like describe it as sort of like a gas giant, like, you know how Jupiter is like a gas giant and it's got like, it's got that red ring that's like a perpetual violent storm always.
Yeah,
wasn't it something like that, like the island had its own like atmosphere to it, sort of?
Not its own atmosphere, but it has a storm like around it
that was so constantly brewing. And
And there was like a small window where they can get in and then a small window where they can escape once they get from like one side of the island to the other, so they only have like a few days to do all this. And and they run into like the locals on the island and stuff like that, and there's like another creature that like Kong has been keeping them at, the other creatures at bay pretty much, and like this giant other monster that's underneath has like was the one that kind of killed his parents. Kong is only like kind of in his infancy at this time, so he's like, he's huge, but he's not like Godzilla size. He's not, you know, but they mention that like, oh, he's still growing. And then I would go from there, and then I would watch the Godzilla movie, even though that one came out first, because the Godzilla one kind of takes place more recently. And it's basically Godzilla's, you know, come up from the depths of the sea, because like there's this other creature that has been awakened, is kind of wrecking havoc, and like he's kind of like, you know, the Earth's protector in a way, and like so he's got to defeat them. But it's like most of that story, like there, it kind of that has a really good character story, like the story to that's really good. But like, and then a couple times they like tease like a fight, and then it like kind of shifts focus a little bit. Like there's like, oh, they get into this underground bunker, and as the doors close, you see like the monster starting to come together. So a lot of that movie's a little bit of a tease, but when you do see the fight like towards the end, it's really good. And then it goes on to King of Monsters, where the story kind of sucked, you know, because it's about like the
I don't know Godzilla movies or like even Kong movies like to really have, well, the original King Kong story is awesome. I really that. But like I was saying about the newest one, like I didn't mind if there were spoilers because the story isn't
what you go for. It's not what you go for. Yeah.
But so, you're saying this like had like a pretty good story, and then
and Kong Skull Island had a really good story and battles. Godzilla 2014 had a good story, but like not as great battles because there's very few of them. King of Monsters didn't have a great story, but had great monster great battles. And then Godzilla vs. Kong, I thought, had a really good monster battle. And like a lot of the monster battles in Godzilla vs. Kong are like in daylight, or like when it's at night, like there's a battle in Hong Kong and it's really lit up really well. So like you can see like everything's like there. And I like that they're not trying to like hide the monsters in darkness. And like it's a really good battle. But yeah, the story in both of them were kind of like, you could just pretty much fast forward through most of the story parts. You know what I mean? There's like some really annoying characters. But yeah.
I'm sure.
But overall, like, I think they're definitely worth watching.
Well, let me ask about the most recent one. What was the CG? I know it was mainly all CGI.
Yeah, but it's all like, CGI. There's no man and costumes.
No, I get that. But yeah. Like, how? Well, obviously they had to enter. I mean, the whole movie, like the people in the movie aren't CGI. No. They're still like human beings walking around. What I was going to ask you was about the integration of CGI to like the physical reality. Like, did they pull it off?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. It looked really, and I mean, I saw it in IMAX. And yeah. I think I saw all of them in IMAX now that I think about it. But yeah,
I'm asking because I had heard that this was like one of the most heavily CGI'd movies ever made.
Yeah.
That still actually have like real shooting and locations and people and everything. So that's why I wanted to ask you about like how you felt about the CGI. Was it like, you know, were they able to incorporate with practical filmmaking or?
It looks really good. Like some of the scenes where Kong interacts with some of the characters, like it looks really well. But like the big monster fights, even look like they're tearing through, you know, Hong Kong.
Yeah.
There's a couple smashing through buildings and stuff like that. Where you're like, all right, if you complained about like, you know, the destruction of buildings from like Man of Steel. And like we're worried about the people, they really fucking level the fucking cities here. And like they give no fucks. And it's like, yeah, because they're giant monsters. They don't give a fuck about fucking.
Wait, were people actually complaining about the destruction? Is that like a thing that happened?
In Man of Steel, yeah. They were like, oh, you're just gonna Superman doesn't do this. He doesn't like just run through buildings like this without concern for the people. And yeah, that's true. But like when it comes to giant monster movies, you want them to destroy the cities, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's most of the fun part.
Yeah, bro. I mean, it's like what was that video game? I think it was called Rampage. I think it
had there like was a movie.
Yeah, there was like a Godzilla like creep, like wasn't like you like Godzilla and you were basically like your objective was to destroy the city.
Like I think you were more of like a King Kong gorilla type. Yeah. And they made a movie out of that. And that's actually pretty entertaining. Well,
I didn't know that. They made a Rampage movie and that's oh, wow.
Starring The Rock.
Really?
Yeah. It's worth it. Yeah. I enjoyed that. It was a fun monster flick with where it's like they were working on like this DNA technology in space, and then like, you know, shit goes wrong, obviously it crashes to Earth in like different parts of, and like the animals that interact with it have mutated, so you got your giant gorilla, you've got your wolf that like kind of is a giant wolf that like flies and shit, kind of like a flying squirrel type wolf. That's also giant, and then it's got like this giant fucking crocodile, and they're all like kind of attracted to the signal that's coming from this tower in the middle of the city that's, you know, being broadcast by the people who were creating the virus, because they want like their test subjects back pretty much, you know, to perfect it. So they're all kind of drawn to that, and you know, so they there's the scene where they're climbing up and destroying shit. I enjoyed it.
My point of bringing that up was because like basically like in monster movies you want to see maximum destruction,
yeah
you know what I mean? Like, so I mean that's the point. Like I have a hard time understanding like someone's logic if they're saying the destruction is too hardcore, you know.
No, they were saying it was too hardcore in like in Superman, but like you want the hardcoreness in this one, but,
I mean obviously.
Yeah. So do you want to hear some of the monsters that they used? The ones from Kong Skull Island were just called like Skull Crushers. They're not based on any, you know, thing from you know the old Godzilla movies. Then the one in Godzilla 2014 was just called like a Muto. I forget what it stood for, but it's not, it's called for Massive Unidentified Terrestrial Organism. So I don't think that was from anything either. And then when you get to the Godzilla, King of Monsters, you got Mothra, you got King Ghidorah.
That's really what I want. That's what I want to know about the most recent one is, like, did Mothra have a role? And if so, like, what was that role? Because Mothra is my favorite out of all the, the monsters in the Godzilla spectrum.
Well, he's not in this one, but he's in King of Monsters. And, Godzilla and Mothra kind of team up a bit, and King Ghidorah, if I'm pronouncing that right, is the main bad monster in this one. And, you know, he's got the fucking three heads. It looks fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
And Rodan as well is another big part of King of Monsters. And then for Godzilla versus Kong, it's mainly them two. But spoilers for anybody that hasn't seen it yet and doesn't want to hear. I avoided the trailers, but apparently there's hints or it's in it. But Mechagodzilla is the main villain in Godzilla versus Kong. So after the Godzilla and Kong battle, they do end up teaming up. And,
I like Mechagodzilla. Mothra is such a neutral monster, like in the story, like even in the older ones, like the black and white, like
the
old school Jet. Like Mothra was like sometimes a bad guy, sometimes a good guy, and like sometimes he would like team up with random people. Like I always kind of like the dynamic of like that. I don't know if I'm taking it too seriously, but
I
used to have like a huge Mothra thing hanging on my wall. Like, you know, like I was like real pumped. So that definitely gives me like more motivation, like the fact that Godzilla and because Godzilla is kind of like an amoral character too, sort of.
Yeah,
like, a lot of people think Godzilla is like the I've heard many people say that like Kong was good and Godzilla is the evil, you know what I mean? So like
it's not really true because like Godzilla is Kong is mostly good, like he's not really evil at all unless you like invade his shit and fuck with him, but like Godzilla's like I'm the fucking king, if anybody tries to fuck with my shit, like I'm gonna fucking come in and wreck your shit. And then like so he's kind of a savior in a way,
kind of a bully
in a way, but like he's also a savior even though he does a lot of destruction, and if you like fire at him and shit he will fucking attack you and shit like that, but like if you leave him alone, like he will seek out the other monsters who he thinks are trying to like take over his domain, and he will fucking wreck them.
I heard Jimmy Kimmel's kids talking about it last night. He had a thing where like his son and daughter, they're very young, I think one's like 3, and they're just like, I don't like Godzilla because he's the bad guy, it's all about Kong.
There was one thing that they made really that Toho who own Godzilla that made very clear with Legendary, they were like, You can't have him show emotion at all. Like, he can't be like, you know, sympathetic or anything like that. He's got to be this straight lace. Like, I'm just here to fucking destroy shit. it's really, it comes off really well. Even when they like team up, like he does, he's still like, remember, I'm the fucking boss here. I think there's a good like 3 different fights that they have against each other. If I'm remembering correctly, maybe 2.5, and then there's the big battle at the end against Mechagodzilla.
Let me just ask, what exactly like happens that gets King Kong involved?
Well,
because he's a very territorial monster.
Yes, like, he's mainly on the island, but at the end of King of Monsters, there's like post credit scenes that you should watch as well, except for in Godzilla vs Kong there's no post credit scene, but it's basically the humans monarch group have like, you know, isolated him on Skull Island, and they want to use him to find Hollow Earth to get the source of this power. And the only way to do that is to take him off the island and like bring him to a certain point. I forget where it was in the movie, but to bring him to a certain point to have him travel underneath and show have them show them the way. But the second he leaves that island, it kind of alerts Godzilla. Like Godzilla knows like where monsters are, and like he's like, yo, you're fine if you're on that island. You come off that island, you're in my territory.
Right, so
now.
He was able to like sense like a disturbance in the force, right?
Yeah, like hones in on them, and like so while the humans are like they have Kong kind of sedated and stuff, and like he has this relationship with this one little girl that was like a native to the island, and so like Kong kind of like is like a protector for her, and so that he's kind of sedated and chained up, but like yeah, when Kong comes, they like shit. I mean, Godzilla comes, he starts fucking shit up, and they have to like release him to like kind of save the people that are like on the boat and shit like that. But Kong gets fucking wrecked, and they have to like fake their fucking, you know, kind of fake their death. And then like, and even though Godzilla's still alive, like he but they had to like shut down their engines and stuff, so then like he doesn't like attack the ship, and like Kong's kind of sitting there like, oh, I got fucked up, and Godzilla gives him this look, and then just fucking is like, all right, yeah, don't fucking mess with me, and bounces. And then
wow,
there was also another situation.
Not really what I was expecting it was going to be about. All right, but
there's also another situation where like the people building Mecha Godzilla are kind of, you know, alerting him as well to this other power source, and he's like, yo, somebody else is fucking with like this other power source that like I can't be having that happen. It's like, because it's from like a power source from like the Hollow Earth or whatever, and so like he's kind of like, all right, well, this is going on over here, I've pretty much defeated you, I'm gonna go take care of this. And then so like they get Kong down there, and then like and Godzilla's like starting to wreck this city, so like, and then he feels Kong like get this fucking like axe that was used down in like this Hollow Earth thing, and it's powered by it, and he's like, oh fuck, like I told you not to fuck with me, and he like blares this fucking hole into the Hollow Earth, and Kong's got to go up and like, you know, fight fucking Godzilla, and it's a fucking great battle. And then Mecha Godzilla gets activated, and they got to fucking team up
You said, the story itself is kind of shit.
Yeah, like the
I gotta tell you, hearing you describe it, like the story, it sounds like it's like I'm definitely gonna watch it.
Yeah,
like,
you
I'm
should watch it. Yeah.
That's happening, and like from what you're describing, the CGI is top class. But like, yeah, it like from what you said, like the story just sounds really ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, the human story in Godzilla vs. Kong, it's like, the people, you know, bringing Kong across, there's some good guys that don't know that they're being used to bring Kong to find this like source that is going to be used as a power to power Mechagodzilla. Like they don't know that. They just think that they want to take him like back to his like original home in Hollow Earth, because he's not.
But how are they being deceived?
Because they just told him they want him to, they just want to get Kong back to, you know, his original home in the Hollow Earth.
Oh, all right, I got
you. But they really are using that to find the source power that they want to use to power Mechagodzilla. And the Godzilla side of the human story is like, they want, like, there's a couple people that want to figure out why Godzilla attacked this city, because he normally doesn't attack unprovoked, and like everybody thinks that Godzilla just went bad, except for like these few humans that are like, oh, we got to figure out what's going on over here, oh, the shady corporation's up to something. So like it all comes together in the end, but it's like, it's kind of really over top, it gets really sci-fi fantasy-ish, but yeah, like you're just like, as long as you're like, you know,
I don't
expect
give a fuck about this story, yeah. I'm just here for the action.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I go in looking for when I go to see giant monster movies. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I figured. There are a few exceptions. I'm trying to comb my brain for an example right now, but I can't. But like, I do remember there being like a few that had like actual like legible and like enjoyable stories.
Oh yeah, but I mean, when you first go in, you're just like, all right, I'm here for the giant monsters. If there's a good story, yeah, then like fantastic, like that's awesome. But, like,
yeah, I'm not like,
expected it. Yeah.
Your logic is flawless.
Like the Pacific Rim movies, like, I mean, I like the first one better than the second one, but I think they're still very enjoyable because it's giant monsters versus giant robots. You know what I mean? Like, if you want like a good story, then maybe like 10 Cloverfield Lane with when John Goodman has Mary Elizabeth Winstead in like that bunker. And he's trying to like keep her down there because there's monsters outside, but like he's also a little crazy. She thinks he's just crazy, but then she finds out there's actually monsters outside. It's part of like the Cloverfield series. And then you've got like some of my other favorite ones besides Monsters. I really like Troll Hunter. It's like this, I want to say Norwegian flick where it's kind of a found footage bit. And it's like these group of people like go and search for like these giant trolls that supposedly exist, and then they find them and like havoc kind of gets wrecked. It's kind of a little lower budget because it's like found footage, but I think the trolls looked really good, and there's some good action set pieces in there. But there's a recent one that I saw that's on Netflix called like Love and Monsters, where it's like these something's happened to the environment and it's kind of mutated all these insects and different animals. And like, I think the monsters looked really good in this too. And, but it has a pretty decent story, but it's like this guy going from one bunker to go find his like girlfriend that's like 50 miles across, you know, the state or whatever. And, but yeah, there was some good stuff along the way in that too. Like I said, but, Pacific Rim, Monsters, Reign of Fire. I mean, dragons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say that, like, Reign of Fire. You know, I was just talking to like one of my like best friends the other day, and I was describing the Matthew McConaughey scene where he pretty much just says fuck it and like somehow is able to jump like 50 feet in the air off of this like high like tower he was on to try to like straight up axe chop the dragon as it's flying straight. Obviously he knew he was going to die.
Yeah, and he's just like, ah.
But like that, I was describing this scene and like my buddy was just like, yeah, I never heard of that movie. And I was like, bro, you need to get the fuck on that. You know,
such an
I mean?
Underrated movie. And I think that
it's incredibly underrated.
The CGI for that still holds up, I think, to this day. It still is one of the best dragons that I've seen in live action movies. I mean, it's that. The Game of Thrones dragons look fantastic.
Yeah, I was gonna, well, Game of Thrones obviously. Yeah, that's the best I've ever seen.
And Hobbit Desolation of Smaug. I thought Smaug looked really good too.
Yeah. What do you have any idea off the top of your head, like what year Reign of Fire came out in?
I want to say that was like 99.
Oh, God, see, I
maybe 2001.
I've gotten older. Well,
2002.
I knew it was going to be around that time because, like, I knew the people that I was hanging out with at the time, and like, you know, we used to talk. So I was like equating it with like who I was chilling with at the time. And John was actually the first person to tell me about that scene because he had seen it before me. And he described that scene to me. And I was just like, oh, dude, I need to watch this movie immediately. And, you know, and also had like, you know, the crazy like battle, macho battle between Christian Bale and Matthew McConaughey for like, you know, who is more hard.
I think that movie was the movie still holds up. I think of the CGI, not a lot does from the early 2000s.
It was really good. The story was really well done. Like it was, they basically thought like if dragons were a thing, you know, they would obviously, you know, be hostile towards us. So what is a good story? And it basically, the story kind of made them as like a hibernating like super dinosaur that had like, you know, been, you know, buried under the earth for like, you know, hundreds or thousands of years or something like that. And they finally, I mean, it was just really well done. Like how they went down the mine shaft and that's how.
And then it's like 20 years later, it's like post-apocalyptic, like error, but like it's dragons have taken, instead of like nuclear war, it's dragons that have taken over, and like there's just about like Christian Bale and his like people that are trying to survive, and I think they're in England, right? And then McConaughey and his like, you know, typical army American troop come in, and they're like these fucking paratroopers that have been like hunting dragons and shit.
They like killed a couple archangels like that. But I mean, it was just, I don't know, the story was, it was well done, it was like well written. Like you said, the CGI holds up to time, and you know, it was really, I remember when you mentioned the bombs, I remember them saying that like the dragons were like apparently like very, very intelligent. And like they kind of like when we used the bombs on them, I remember them saying that like we did them a favor because they would feed off of the ash, right?
Yeah,
they would,
like,
I see that was like sort of new to me. It's like in that film they had it so that the dragons would pretty much nuke things to a crisp, and they would feed off of like what was left, like the embers and stuff like that. That was sort of like a new idea for me. But I thought it worked. I mean, it did really, it was really, really, really great.
Yeah, then the only other one that I would recommend that I think counts as a giant monster movie is The Mist, because there's giant monsters in there.
I don't know. I don't see. I mean, if you were going to say that, you'd have to bring like other things. They would be like, you would have to list Critters as like a giant monster movie.
Tremors. Yes.
Tremors. That is a good example. Those were very large monsters, and sort of like the dragon from Reign of Fire, they were also something that were kind of like hiding under the surface for like a really, really long time, and like made like a calculated decision of now's when to strike. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because
and they made like fucking 20 of those fucking movies.
I don't know if they made one. The last Tremors I looked at, I believe, was Tremors 4, because in Tremors 3 they learn how to fly.
Yeah.
So that happens, but
there was one more recently. What was the? It was called, I think it's on Netflix now. I think it was like 2018. Well, they were working on a. Oh, it was called Shriker Island. Came out in 2020. So like that's how long this has been going on.
That's insane. And what one is that?
Let's see.
That Tremors 5?
No. 5 was like Bloodlines. This let's see, what number is this? That's a good question.
That's insane. I did not realize Tremors was still a thing. But that's definitely, I don't see The Mist as being like a giant monster movies. Or, you know, I guess there were giant monsters they showed all the way at the very end.
At the very end, that's true.
Like, that
other one, that giant one with the tentacles that was fucking snatching the dude in the loading dock.
It wasn't that, I don't think, well, you know what, you never actually see the full size of it.
True.
Like, you don't know what it is to scale.
What were those other creatures that were kind of like giant, you know, bird pterodactyl things that were like breaking through the fucking window and shit?
Yeah, they were like, but it was more of like an army of like Lovecraftian creatures that like the only reason that happened is because they like, that was like they like opened up a portal to another dimension. Like otherwise that would have never been a threat to anybody if they didn't start like fucking around like black holes and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, and of course, like you mentioned, the Cloverfield series. I mean, I like the first. I've not seen anything like after.
Watch 10 Cloverfield Lane. That one's really good.
Yeah, I really liked it how like you very rarely see the monster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the way they capture the terror, you only see like glimpses and bits and pieces of the monsters, and like that's always been like a great formula from like Jaws, you know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, yeah. The less is better. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so Tremors, there are 7 movies.
Wow.
Starting from 1990, then you got Aftershocks in 96, Back to Perfection in 2001, Legend Begins in 2004, Bloodlines in 2015, A Cold Day in Hell in 2018, and Shriker Island in 2020.
Wow.
And then there was there a TV series as well in 2003? I don't know how long that lasted.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that before.
I know they were talking about doing another TV series and bringing Kevin Bacon back in, but I think that ended up not going anywhere.
Yeah, I love to be on the line when that call came into Kevin Bacon.
Dude, I think he was down. He was like, yeah, really? I'm down to do a fucking another Tremors movie, yeah, or series or whatever. It'd be like a limited series. Like
the script, and I could see them doing like a prequel or something, like, you know what I mean? Like that would be the only thing that really made sense to me.
Or like, just like one of those sequels where you ignore all the other ones.
Well, yeah, I was thinking like a prequel, like the Tremors, like were underground hibernating for hundreds of years, and maybe showing that town like back in like the old Western times or like early American settlers or something like that, and like show like the Tremors like basically like ripping out whole colonies of people and yeah. then like, you know, going back into hibernation and like, you know, not being seen again until you know, Kevin Bacon and his crew, where they had that like small I still don't understand how those things obviously had to come out of hibernation, because otherwise that town would have never gotten built. So
yeah.
But yeah, that would be the story with Tremors, is like they hibernate for like 200 years and then they, you know, go on a ripping rampage.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I haven't watched any since maybe like the third, like you have. So
yeah, the third was the last I saw, and it had the only person that existed from the original Tremor movie was the guy who was like married to Reba McEntire, and like he was a gun nut, and like
yeah,
the
Tremor, like, I think he's been in. I think he's been in all of them.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think he's the only like mainstay. Yeah,
that was the first movie I ever saw somebody break out an elephant gun, so that will always have like a special place in my heart. But yeah, I guess I just don't see the mist as like a giant monster. Like I don't know, like it doesn't.
Yeah, I guess it well. Since it has it, and I guess that you can't really include like underwater either, because that only has the giant monster at the very end.
Yeah,
as well, no. So
I mean, I actually think like Jaws would be like more of a giant monster movie than I would like say The Mist was. I guess I'm equating it with like, I don't know, things that
I guess that movie The Meg with Jason Statham like punches a giant shark. I don't know if he does, I haven't seen that movie yet. But like, yeah. I assume he like punches a giant shark at one point, like But yeah, some of the other Godzilla films since that 98 one that you last saw, there was like
yeah, I had to like throw that in there. I don't even know if it was a good one or not.
It's terrible.
The trailer
looked good, but yeah,
the trailer was great.
The 98 one's terrible, but yeah, there was a Toho went back and they did like 4 or 5 more. Between then, they did Godzilla 2000, which I remember seeing in the theaters. I didn't see Godzilla versus Megalosaurus. I didn't see Monsters All Out Attack, although I hear that one's good. I didn't see the Godzilla against Mechagodzilla in 2002. I didn't see Tokyo SOS. I did see Final Wars recently. That one wasn't really that great.
Well, but you know what you have to incorporate in there is the remake they made of War of the Worlds, the one with Tom Cruise. When in that one, it's not like aliens in the ship. It's like the ships themselves. They have like giant tentacles. And
yeah,
stuff like
that. That's true.
And they've been here the whole time. They don't come from outer space. They were monsters that always existed on Earth.
It's been forever since I've seen that.
Yeah, they have huge tentacles and it like brings them into like this like embryonic sac, and then every once in a while like a thing comes down and like picks someone up and like eats it, you know what I mean? So like, and those things were gigantic. It was like an overall like huge monster takeover of Earth. So you have to, I mean, the original War of the Worlds, that was like based on like alien invaders, like little green men and ships with disintegrator rays.
Yeah.
Like this was a totally different take on
it. I forgot about that. I'm going to have to go back and watch that. But.
I remember it being like semi-decent.
But
I mean, the only other the one, I don't know if you'd consider this a monster movie or if it would be on the same token as The Mist, but also with Tom Cruise is, I think it was called the...
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Live, Die, Repeat. They changed the name. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know they were alien creatures, but I don't know if they were technically.
Yeah, I don't
giant
think you
monsters.
Would say they were on the with giant giant monsters. I mean, you could consider like A Quiet Place sort of like on that. I mean, but it's not really giant.
They're
monsters.
Not giant either. Yeah, I'm talking about like so straight up kaiju, all... giant strange creatures.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, so like, and that's how The Mist was too. You know what I mean? It was an army of like smaller creatures. Yeah.
Yeah, then there were some giant ones, but yeah. I know you don't like superhero movies, but the new Suicide Squad trailer just released. It's James Gunn. You know, he did Slither, which is a fantastic creature feature. But
is Robbie in there? What's her name?
Yes.
Margot Robbie. And she's, oh yeah. Well, yeah. I really liked her in the first one.
And Idris Elba. I always say his name wrong. I can never remember how to pronounce his name. But he's in it as well. And but the villain in that, and they show it in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler, is a giant starfish. It's called Starro.
And that's how it becomes a monster movie.
Yeah, because they're like, because they go, it's a fucking.
I was thinking like, what are you talking about?
It's a fucking kaiju, and they say in the fucking trailer, and they fucking show fucking Starro, who's a giant fucking starfish, it's fucking wrecking havoc. So like, and it looks a lot of fun because I mean, it's James Gunn. I mean, if you like anything he's done, like it's gonna be good.
No, yeah. I do. I mean, if you said like Michael Bay, like I'd just end the cast right now.
never speak to me again. Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't count the fucking Transformers movies as giant monster movies.
Yeah, like, no, I mean, they were like, yeah, but yeah, they just,
no.
A monster to me has to be like flesh and blood. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you want like, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a mammal, but like, they need to be something from, like, I like it, like, it has to be something from like organic material.
Yeah.
And the Transformers were like, you know, hyper machines or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I saw that fucking awful fucking new Paul W.S. Anderson movie. You know, he did the one good movie, Event Horizon. And then he did a bunch of those Resident Evil films. He did this one that's based off a video game called Monster Hunter with Mila Jovovich, and like Ron Perlman's in it and Tony Jaa. It was fucking terrible. But like, I hear the video game's great where, you know, it's like about battling giant creatures and stuff like that, but like this one is just like it was I don't know how I even got through it, but it was fucking bad. And the other one that you had missed was which I still haven't seen yet, which after the 2014 Godzilla was Shin Godzilla, which was a Toho piece that doesn't count as part of the the monster films, but I hear that one's really good too. And I've been meaning to get around to that. But it looks like you have frozen, so I'm going to go ahead and end the cast here. Thanks for joining us. And we will talk to you soon, and check us out on the Facebook group at Fright Central. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you later.